I was talking to my mother today. My mother had just gotten back from an extended trip to Eretz Yisrael, and she was describing the different feeling here than she was having in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a scary time to be in Israel right now. And she was telling me that she couldn't put it into words, but she was saying she feels so much safer there than here. But she didn't mean physically safe, because you have to be out of your mind to feel physically safe. That's not what she meant. She meant emotionally safe, she's in a safe place, she's in a place that a Jew belongs, that there's a sense of camaraderie, there's a sense of belonging with the larger chevra, with the larger country. Whereas over here, it's sort of we're ki'ilu on our own a little bit, and we're outsiders in this culture. Never does that sense of an outsider become more apparent than when we start approaching the holiday season. But already, even before the secular holiday season, already next week, we already start to see some of the differences. I want to share with you four or five different shilas I got that all relate to the same thing. And you would think that, you study for smicha, and you learn in yeshiva for however many years you learn in yeshiva, that you don't need to learn the halachos of Halloween. Because there are no such halachas of Halloween. You would think that wouldn't be something that a Jew would have to learn. It's amazing. Part of the culture in, one of the major differences in Israel and America, for example, is that, even if you're completely secular in Israel, but you look forward to Shabbat, because at least that's your day off, at least that's the day of rest, and you look forward to Sukkot and to Pesach, and to, days that are understood, that are going to be slower, and vacation, and holidays, and whatever. And over here, it's we have so much from other religions that sort of seeps into our culture that we're constantly exposed to, that we sort of have to be very careful about how much of other cultures we allow into our brains and into our hearts and into our behaviors. And it's something we have to be on guard about. So I want to share with you a couple of shilas that I got. So here's an email I got from someone. Shalom, Rabbi Leibowitz. Shalom. Someone I know is the only religious Jew at work, and one day all the workers are supposed to wear a costume for Halloween. Would there be any room to be makel to simply wear a baseball cap or jersey that day, or would this be an issue of chukas akum? I got this shayla twice from two different people. One is, he didn't describe what kind of workplace, but the other one is from a woman who works in a children's hospital. And on the night of Halloween, all the children are nebuch sick and stuck in the hospital, and they can't go trick-or-treating and getting their candies. So the whole hospital staff dresses up in costume, and they sort of make it a chavaya. They make it an enjoyable experience for the children. So she works as a nurse in the children's hospital. She wants to know, is she allowed to dress up on Halloween? Another shayla. Dear Rav Leibowitz, some family members have expressed interest in attending. This is someone who wants to blame his wife. Some family members have expressed interest in attending a seasonal pumpkin jack-o'-lantern show. I had no idea what those words even meant, but thankfully he was kind enough to include a link. So I just clicked on the link, very hesitatingly clicked on the link. And what they have is, apparently in New York and LA and a few big cities, they have about a half a mile or a third of a mile of a walking course that you go through, and these incredible artists have taken pumpkins and have carved all of these amazing images into the pumpkins. It literally looks like photographs have been stuck onto the pumpkins. So such expert artists. And they have them shaped in multiple ways. There's a giant dinosaur made only out of pumpkins and carvings or whatever. And there's lights on the inside and all out of pumpkin carvings. And it's a show that's only available in October. And the music is the kind of music you would hear when you're watching, the Halloween special of whatever your favorite television show is. So, but there's no mention anywhere on the website or anywhere in the entire presentation of Halloween. But it's all a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern show. So he said, I initially said we shouldn't go since it's related to Halloween, which is the ultimate example of Chukas Hagayim, since the source isn't exactly clear, likely pagan, etc. But I'm still not clear what the Pesach would be in this case, because it has no mention of Halloween. Okay, so that's Shaila number, how many did I say? That's number two?
Yeah.
Shaila number three. A teacher in a Jewish studies teacher in a school in, not in New York, has the modern Orthodox day school, high school, modern Orthodox high school, said that her students love to go trick or treating, and they also love to go. I may give away a little too much information. They love to go to Disney World around around Halloween time, because there's like they do. What do they do? They do something, some major event. I know that in Six Flags they do, because I was a season ticket holder, a season pass holder to Six Flags. This past, my wife chapped that if you go Sukkot time, this is just a good idea. If anyone ever, when you have to take family trips, if you go Sukkot time, it's the end of the season. So when you buy a season pass, you're already buying for next season, and a season pass is only like $5 more than a regular ticket. And you get free parking, so it already pays for itself. Plus, you can get Pesach and the next Sukkot, all on the same, and the whole summer, whenever you want to go in the summer. So you can get all that time just for the price of one ticket. Okay, so anyway, but the price of being a season ticket holder is a lot of junk email. So I keep getting these emails about all the things that they have going on there. So are they allowed to attend these events? It's exciting. It's interesting. It's similar to the Shaila about going to the tree lighting. You know, people ask if they can go to the tree lighting. Guy wanted to go on a date. He wanted to take a girl to the tree lighting. I'm like, it'll be your last date. Mutter Rasser, it's going to be your last date. And then a final shaila, not directly related to Halloween, but related to chukas akum related issues. I was in Yeshiva University yesterday, and a guy came over to me and told me that he had an internship over the summer with 1-800-Flowers. I don't even know if there's... I think now it's called 1-800-Flowers.com, because no one uses telephone anymore to order flowers. So 1-800-Flowers.com. So he had an internship, and he was working on the website, and they asked him to post to make up a calendar of every holiday on Earth. You know, like that came out, like every day is a holiday somewhere for something. So you have to find every single holiday in any single religion, any single place. Like Hasidim have a holiday of Yartzeit, so they don't have to say Tachnun. You know, so he has a holiday that he had to have a calendar. I mean, so he had to make a calendar of every holiday. So he said that he started doing the research, and there are lots of holidays out there, and they're all Avodah Zarah, meaning there are some that aren't Avodah Zarah, but there are, and we're not talking about like Christianity type of Avodah Zarah. We're talking where it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's Avodah Zarah for them or only for us. By the way, Derech Agav, I was talking to Rav Shechti yesterday. I always thought that, I think we discussed this a little bit last year, going into a mosque and going into a church, I know Rav Nevensal, according to my Talmidim at least, who learned in the Old City, they said that Rav Nevensal used to say that one is permitted to go into a mosque, and that it's also to destroy a mosque, because it's a monotheistic religion, it's a base tefillah, so it has kedushas beis haknesses to some extent, which is pretty shocking, pretty jarring. As Rav Shech said, absolutely asur to go into a mosque, it's Avodah Zarah. How do you say it's Avodah Zarah? It's a monotheistic religion. He said, no, it's not Avodah Zarah for them, but it's Avodah Zarah for us, because they reject Torah's Moshe. So for us, it's Avodah Zarah. So that was an interesting take, very different extreme opinions on that. But that's not our topic for tonight. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to make up such a calendar? So what are the issues over here? So on all these shaylos, what are the issues? So
the
parameters of Chukas Akum, and I guess to some extent the parameters of Avodah Zarah. So the parameters of Chukas Akum. So first of all, in terms of the Halloween stuff, you need to know a little bit about where Halloween comes from. And the problem is, no one really knows exactly where it comes from. If you go on, yeah.
What is really the problem of Chukas Akum?
Oh, so good. So we'll get to that. So no one knows exactly where Halloween comes from. There's debate on all the... If you ask the internet, you'll get a lot of different answers. And there are different theories about how it started and how it developed. At some point, it went from being a pagan Celtic festival to becoming a Christian festival. And it's unclear when that happened, why that happened, what it lost along the way, and what it gained along the way to Christianize it. But at some point, there was a belief that on October 31st, or thereabouts, all the ghosts, witches, and demons would roam about the earth on that day, and something needed to be done to counter it. So everyone would dress up as a ghost, witch, and a demon, so that you wouldn't, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't get the whole alumnus, but everyone just so that they wouldn't chop them or something. They would think, oh, you're one of us, okay, high five, and move on to the next one.
To confuse the many satanim.
Right, exactly. So that it's something of that nature, and they started at some point carving into pumpkins the face of a devil. And also related to this Indian, there's a lot of debate when dressing up in costumes and demanding candy became part of the celebration. But it certainly has some sort of connection to those original practices. Now, nowadays, no one in America, as far as I know, that celebrates Halloween actually believes in any of the things that it started as. I don't think anyone really still thinks that that there are ghosts and demons roaming the earth on that night any more than there are any other nights. You know, there are people that may have these beliefs, but they have the beliefs all the time. I don't think they believe that it's an Indian in October 31st. And for that reason, the American government considers Halloween a secular holiday. It is not a religious holiday, but that doesn't mean anything, because guess what else is a secular holiday?
Christmas.
And guess what else? Hanukkah. Also, secular holiday. So not everything that's declared a secular holiday is in fact secular. So what's the halachic background over here? So we know that it has pagan roots. Pagan roots means it most likely has roots in Avodah Zarah. So you have to determine whether we're allowed to participate either directly or indirectly in a holiday that has roots in Avodah Zarah. So this is where we get to Chukas Akum. Chukas Akum is a tricky topic because it's a basic machlokas rishonim how to define Chukas Akum. Chukseim lo selechu, we're not allowed to go in the ways, in the chok of the goyim, darkei amori, we're not allowed to follow. So what does that mean? So Tosfos Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph writes that there are two basic categories of Chukas Akum. There are those things that goyim do for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, and then there are those things that are totally nonsensical. Even if the origins are not idolatrous, it's totally nonsensical. The Ran and the Ma'arik is quoted by the Ramah, says that anything that's rooted in Avodah Zarah is certainly Aser, but something that's just foolish or stupid are only included if they are either one of two things. Either Pritzos, the practices are Pritzos, or there's no explanation whatsoever. It's not just a stupid explanation where you know what the explanation is. It just doesn't inspire you. But it's there's no explanation. There's no logical reason why they're doing something. The Ramah in Kuf Ayin Ches in Yerodeah, the Ramah writes after the Mechaber gets through going through what the Rambam writes in the beginning of the 11th parak of Chavad Chavim that Ein Holchin B'Chukos of the Chavim Lo Yilbash Malbash Miyuchadem. You're not allowed to wear their clothing, the clothing that's Miyuchad for them. Lo Yigadol Tzitzas Rosh Kumat Tzitzas Rosh. You can't grow your hair the way they would grow their hair. That's Baloris. They would be Megadol Baloris. It's Machlokes. We show them exactly what they would do. Either they would shave the sides and grow only the top, or they would grow something out along the back, like a long ponytail type thing out of the back. Whatever it was something that they grew in their hair that you're not allowed to do. V'lo yaleach me'at studen ve'aniach haser be'emtza. You're not allowed to shave the sides and leave the hair growing on top. V'lo yaleach haser mekineged panav me'ozen la'ozen ve'aniach hapera. V'lo yivne mekomos k'vininai cholosh alovitz k'chav. You're not allowed to build things that are supposed to mimic batei avodah zarah so that people will come. So rather, says the Ramah, Ella, one should be easily distinguishable from the Ovdei Kochavim in the way he dresses, and believe it or not, in the way he acts, not just in the way he dresses. V'kolze, and the Rambam writes, and the Rambam says, and in the way he thinks. That the way we think is not the way they think. The way we think in a different, we think about Avodas Hashem, we think about religious values, we think differently. The Rambam, in fact, takes that. If you look in the Lashon Rambam, I don't have a Rambam. If you look in the Lashon Rambam, Yud Aleph, in Avodas Chavim, the Rambam says, our Malbush is supposed to be different than their Malbush, Kishem, just like it's obvious that our way of thinking is different than their way of thinking, that our Deos are different than their Deos, that our values are different than their values. One could argue that sometimes people confuse what's more obvious and what's less obvious nowadays. And that's the given, that our values are different, and our malbush should express that. V'kolze inu aser, here it is. V'kolze inu aser el b'davar shnagu bo ha'uvdei kochavim l'shem pritzos, something that they've done for the sake of pritzos, kigon, shenagu lilbosh malbush madumim. They wear red clothing, which is a malbush of the sarim, and other types of malbushe pritzos. he couldn't imagine Malbushe Pritzos where they wear no clothing or little clothing, just outlandish clothing that gets attention. Or something that's a minik v'chok and there's no reason for it. Why do you have to worry about something there's no reason for? Because you have to worry that maybe it comes from Darkei Amori. So let me ask you something. What if you have a minhag that has a perfectly good reason for it, that they do, but you know that it comes from Darkei Amori? I mean, the Ramah says, don't do something with no reason, because maybe you have to worry that maybe you lie, it comes from Darkei Amori, it comes from Avodah Zarah originally. What if you have something you know it comes from Avodah Zarah originally? It's pashut that it comes from Avodah Zarah originally. But now it has a good reason for it. So it would seem from reading the Ramah, what would you say? Aser, right? The Ramah says, something that has no reason, you have to worry, maybe it comes from Avodah, maybe it has some shemetz of Avodah Zarah. If you look at the Lashon of the Ma'arik itself, and this is pointed out by some of the Achronim, not so many, but some of the Achronim point out, the Ramah changes the Lashon of the Ma'arik a little bit. If you look at the Lashon of the Ma'arik, it's less obvious. It's less obvious. I was on a bit of a kick this summer. I was trying to Aser yoga, because someone was trying to get me to do it. So yoga, I discovered, is very likely, very, very likely, comes from Avodah Zarah sources. All of the positions are had a bow to the Avodah Zarah, had a chant, the amming and the the things you say and the chanting, whatever, and the music that they even have in some of the more realistic or authentic yoga studios, they'll have a little getchka there to create part of the feel of what it was, because that's what it clear. Now, is there a good reason for it? There's absolutely a good reason for it. People who are into it will tell you it improves balance, it improves concentration, it improves your breathing, it improves so many different things. I just never got it. I tried it once. I just never really, like, it didn't do it for me. But they say it, so it has a very, very good reason for it. So what would you say? So there's a very good reason. It's very logical why you'd want to do it, and you're not doing it for Avodah Zarah. Now, by the way, even if you're going to be Mekel and do it, which I couldn't find any posek who was willing to be Machmir with me, so Batla Daiti Yitzel, everyone else who said that it's Mutter. I asked Rav Asher Weiss, he's like, yeah, it's Mutter, it's fine. I asked Shechter, he said, I don't know that much about it, probably it's fine. I asked around, no. I even sent a Shaila to Rav Yitzchak Yosef and one of Avadia's other children. One of them got back to me and said, it's fine. Rav Zilberstein said, I don't know much about it, but there's this guy that used to hack my father-in-law, Rav Liashev, all the time about all sorts of Avodah Zarah things. So here's his contact info. You can reach out to him. I didn't reach out to him. But okay. So in this case, you might argue something similar. In which case? So trick-or-treating makes a lot of sense. Kids like candy. Believe it or not. So there's a way that you can go around and get free candy every night. I mean, not every night, once a year, one night a year. So that's fun. It's fun. So they can go and get their candy. So there's a very good reason for that. Ah, why dafka this night, and why in costume, and why this way? So the truth is, it's not such a good reason. But what about in the hospital? You're working in the hospital, and you're trying to bring some joy to the children, and this is something that they're going to miss. So you know it clearly has roots in Avodah Zarah. So this I think you could argue maybe a machlokas Rama and the Ma'arik, even though the Rama is quoting the Ma'arik, but I think we would go with what the Rama says and we'd be machmir in something like that. So something that you know has a basis in Avodah Zarah, you'd have to be very careful about. Now, trick or treating, there are two sides to the trick or treating. There's the people asking for the candy and the people giving the candy. So for Jewish kids to go around dressing up and asking for the candy, actively participating in a this pagan holiday, I think is a terrible thing. It's a chilul Hashem. We don't have, and how do they justify it? It's like Purim. It's not like Purim. It's not at all like Purim. If we think it's like Purim, then our understanding of Purim is very flawed, and we need to understand that our religion has significant depth to it. We need to work on that. We need to work on our religion. And the teacher was asking me, it has to do a better job of teaching the children that it's not like Purim, teaching the students. It's not at all. It's not at all like Purim. And I think it's a terrible, terrible Chilul Hashem that Jewish kids would be going around doing this. A teacher in out-of-town day school where, you know, you have a wide variety of kids, and some of the kids are not from at all at home, and some of them are quite from at home, and everything in between. So should she make a big deal out of it? So you have to know who you're dealing with. But probably yes, probably to say not to celebrate a holiday that belongs to another religion. I think, you know, we're not talking about, you know, talking about some sensitive issue where she's talking about exactly how much hair a married woman has to cover or whatever. You know, that might ruffle some feathers or something. Don't celebrate the Gaisha holidays. I think that should be said in a sensitive way, that not everyone realizes just how terrible it is or what it's based on. But if we recognize what it's based on, then we should appreciate that it's not. So I think that's a davar pashut. What about giving the candies to the trick-or-treaters? So I think that's a little bit different. I used to give a shiur in the mornings in Lawrence before I had a shul in North Woodmere. And there was a guy in the shiur who was a Talmud of Rav Pam. And he told me that when he got engaged, or when he was about to get engaged, he brought his kala to meet Rav Pam. And he happened to, the night Rav Pam was available, it was October 31st. So he went and he brought his kala to Rav Pam. And Rav Pam did, he said he remembers two things about that evening. He remembers that Rav Pam, well, three things he said. He said that Rav Pam was so nice to his wife and wasn't just talking to him and ignoring her, that he was so friendly and so nice to her. But he said he also remembers the phone rang like 1,000 times and he didn't answer it once. And he said, if someone's here talking to me, it's not Derech Eretz, I should get the phone. When they said, you know, Rebbe, you can get it. No, no, not Derech Eretz, someone's here talking to me, I'm not going to get the phone. As you know, as we have conversations like this, you know, the Pam wouldn't answer the phone when someone was there talking to him. And then, looking at the stickers, that's for my daughter. So, yeah. My daughter can't really do anything. and he said the third thing he remembers is that every time there was a knock at the door, he would go get the door, and it was little kids from the neighborhood trick-or-treating, and he would take out his basket of chocolates, and he would drop one into each of their bags, and he would, you know, kindly give good chocolates. He didn't give bad chocolates, and that was that's what he did. So why is that mutter? So probably mutter for several reasons. First of all, it would be a chilul Hashem probably if they don't know. These little kids, they don't know the difference. They just know if they're going to know that the Jew doesn't give, that the Jews are stingy, and that the Jews. So there is, and plus, Rav Pam lived in Brooklyn. There's also a sense of Eva. You know, you don't give, and there are repercussions for that. You know, they'll egg your house, and they'll, you know, there's all sorts of vandalism that goes on. So you need to be careful about that. So when you're in a community where Darkei Shalom and Eva are serious issues, then a person probably should not have a problem giving. Now, in certain communities, they know if there's a mezuzah on the door, don't knock at that door. And that's perfectly fine. Some don't want to deal with it, so they leave a basket outside, and they trust that kids are going together with parents, so they're going and taking just one thing. Because years ago, you know, it used to be kids would go on their own, but someone started a false rumor that there was some murderer going around sticking razor blades in the candies, in the candy apples. And kids were dying from it. The whole thing was false. It was Shekhar Chazet. The whole thing. So it was a craze all over the country. Oh no, it's going to be this is this mass murderer, and people are doing it, and it's catching on. And this is so now parents always go with children. They're always very careful to make sure that the kids are safe and that the candies are fully packaged and everything else. Even though it was never lo hayev lo nivra. But there are other good reasons why parents should be going anyway with kids bizmanenu, unfortunately. Yeah, so probably should not be encouraged. Should not be encouraged. I don't know. We would when we first moved into North Woodmere, there were still some that would come by. I left a basket outside. I just didn't want to deal with it because I was afraid to see if they'd be Jewish kids, not Jewish kids. I was afraid to see. Probably there weren't a lot of Jewish kids at that time that were coming. Now the neighborhood's changed a little bit, so it doesn't happen at all. We haven't had in years. But yeah, so. That's just in terms of that. So how many of the shadows did we deal with? We dealt with the teacher. Should she encourage her children not to do the students not to do this thing? Absolutely. What about the jack-o'-lanterns? No mention of Halloween, but it's obvious that this is, you know, they're doing this now because of, so does that mean you're not allowed to carve out pumpkins and make nice designs and be an artist that carves things if you carve a pumpkin? I don't know. I'm not sure how far it goes. That might be a Shvacha connection a little bit. I asked Rav Shachter what he thought yesterday. He said he didn't think it was such a problem. I think his inclination was, you know, you're not going to find him there. You know, you're not going to find a Rosh Yeshiva. Mistama wouldn't go. So, but nevertheless, it's hard to say with any definitive statement that it's asir. But I thought it was more interesting. Well, it's baltashas if it's a waste, but if people are enjoying the art or whatever, no, no. And do they not eat what they carve out of it? Probably make pumpkin pies. No, that's when they freeze it for Thanksgiving. I don't know. So, I have no idea. That's the Rav Shechter also thought that the person, even for work, dressing up in the hospital, he thought they should not do. But that's active participation. I said, Rebbe, what if they dress up in something that they wouldn't normally wear, but people sometimes would wear? It's not like they're wearing a Batman costume. They're wearing a baseball jersey. There are adult, grown men that walk around. I'm sure if you walked around Manhattan today, you see adult.
My supervisor wore a Mets jersey.
Yeah, adult, grown men that walk around wearing Mets jerseys today because the Mets won the game. There are people that are walking around with brooms today because it was a sweep. No joke. So a baseball cap and a baseball jersey. So it's quasi dressing up, but not really dressing up. So that I think he was willing to be makel. I would think that we could be makel with that. That way you show them that you're participating a little bit. You want to bring joy to the children. You're just not going to participate fully. Also, just the whole holiday is such a pretzel stick of in today's day and age. It's gotten to a point where there's nothing innocent about it. It's such a priestly holiday, all the costumes and whatever, and it's become like a thing, that who could be more parts than the next one? So you talk about not only something that we know, what does the Ramah say? That there are two things that are chukasakam, anything that's a minhag of priestess, and anything that has no tam, because it might come from Avodah Zarah. So here you hit both. You got something that definitely comes from Avodah Zarah, and you have something that's a minhag priestess. It's clearly a terrible, terrible priestess nowadays. So what about the what I thought was the more interesting shot was the web designer. So he's going to make the holiday. So what's the problem? Make the calendar with the holidays. What's the problem? What's the issue? This is a shaila in? What would you think? What's it a shaila about?
Well, is he making the calendar to send out to customers, like that they should plan to send out emails? Or is it for them to know when to have more flowers?
The idea is that they should know. Well, what's the difference between the two?
Like
a customer needs to know, should I be celebrating something today? So he goes, it's that holiday. Hey, my great-grandmother was that. So I'm going to send to my mother flowers because it will bring back memories of the Altai.
Send flowers on Christmas, you get into like a Shaila of Lifnei Iver, I guess.
Ah, so one is it, it's a Lifnei Iver Shaila, that you're helping someone celebrate a holiday, which is Avodah Zarah. Now, if you're helping a Muslim celebrate a Muslim holiday, so that's fine. It's not Avodah Zarah. A Christian celebrating a Christian holiday, not so passionate. But you're going to help people do Avodah Zarah holidays, that would seem to be a real problem. So you really have to figure out, is this call that you're helping them, what did you want to say?
I was going to say, certain times seem also to mention names of Seder Avodah Zarah
also. Ah, so that's what I was thinking. So I came to ask the Shaila thinking only that. So I asked the Rosh Hashanah yesterday after this boy asked me, it's funny when I'm there and Rosh Hashanah's in the Vesmer, someone comes and asks me a Shaila, they're like asking it through me to him, or should like you know? But it's also usher for me to answer, even if I did know the answer. But I thought it was a shaila about names. You're not allowed to say Shemos of Avodah Zarah. But I asked it to Rav Shechter. He wasn't even thinking about that. He thought immediately that I was asking about Lifnei Iver. So Lifnei Iver is an interesting issue. First of all, is there a Lifnei Iver for a guy? The answer is. The Gemara says, "Minayin that you're not allowed to be moshed kos yayin lenazir. That you're not allowed to give a cup of wine to a nazir. And Aver menachai lovid chavim, same line. And they're not allowed to give Aver menachai to lovid chavim. Pasuk says, Lifnei Iver lo siten michshol. You know, there's a discussion in Achronim. Is it a violation of Lifnei Iver if you literally put a stumbling block in front of a blind person? It could be that's not Lifnei Iver. That the pshuto shel mikra is allegorical, which is ein mikra yosim de pshuto." I once did it by accident. I once accidentally put an actual stumbling block in front of a blind person. Not on purpose. I was like, wow. Since when does this shaila ever come up? I was helping my uncle schlep packages up to the third floor apartment in Rehovot, where my aunt and uncle lived. And I was holding all these bags, and I dropped one right in front of the apartment beneath them. And we went upstairs, and we started unpacking the groceries. I figured I'd come back down for it later. And we're unpacking the groceries, and my aunt says, my aunt Shalom says to my uncle, I thought I told you to buy whatever, you didn't buy. I'm thinking, wait, I think I dropped a bag downstairs right in front of your downstairs neighbor's door. The man said, he's blind. He's going to open up the door. He's going to walk out. He's going to trip. And I'm thinking, live neither. So Baruch Hashem, he didn't come out at that moment and nothing happened. It was okay. But live neither for a guy is a problem. Live neither. It is an issue. So, but the question is, how indirect does it have to be? So Rav Shachter thought, what do you mean? This isn't live neither. A guy's not going to come and say, I never heard of that holiday before. Let's celebrate by buying flowers. No one's going to do that. What's going to happen is a person who wants to celebrate the holiday is going to Google flowers this holiday, and they want that. There, Rav Shachter didn't say it this way because I don't think he would say it this way. I don't think he realizes the Google whatever. But that likely that's the way it's gonna happen. He's gonna Google flowers that holiday, and you want that he should buy flowers from 1-800 Flowers and not to buy flowers from some other place in celebration of his holiday. Yeah, either way, he's celebrating. It doesn't make a difference. It's just a matter of where he's going to buy the flowers. He didn't even think that's called, by Lifnevi, there's two Isurim. There's Lifnevi Daraisa and Lifnevi Midrabanan. I think last year we probably spoke about this many times. It comes up all the time. Lifnevi Daraisa is when it's what we call Treabri Dinara. When it's on two sides of a river, you have let's say the Kosiyai of the Nazir. There's a Nazir on one side of the river, you're on the other side of the river with a bottle of wine. And the Nazir has no access to that bottle of wine unless you throw it to him. So the only way for him to do the Aveir is you providing it for him. This is certainly not that, right? It's certainly not Lifnei Ivera Doraisa. What about Midraban, Misayel Deovre Aveira? So Misayel Deovre Aveira is he could do it without you, but you're helping him. So that's not so pashut at all that it would apply to a guy in the first place. That might just be an issue with Jews. And Rav Shach didn't think it was an issue at all over here. He didn't even think it rose to the level of Misayeya. But I thought the more compelling discussion was about saying the names of Nevelat Zohar, because people don't realize that there's us. You know, people, my Rebbe, when I was in elementary school, would always refer to the holiday as Kratzmach. So why did they refer to it as Kratzmach? Because to say Jesus, that's the guy's name. But to say the second name, that's already saying that he's the Mashuach and whatever, and they hold that their choshesh, that it's a Shem Avodah Zarah. So that's how they refer to it. Shemos Avodah Zarah, one is not allowed to say. Where do we learn that you're not allowed to say? So the Pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim says you're not allowed to mention the names of other gods. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel, says that means that if you tell somebody, let's meet tomorrow. How about we meet in front of Avodah Zarah Plum, in front of this Avodah Zarah? Aser, the Gemara says. One is not allowed to do that. So even just casual mention of the name, no intention. You're not trying to praise the Avodah Zarah. You're not trying to say things, nice things. You're just trying to give a landmark where you want to meet the person. Even that's going to be Aser. The Gemara in Sanhedrin explains that not only is it Aser to say the name of Avodah Zarah, it's Aser to even cause others to mention the name of the Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says. And the Gemara gives that example, like we said, telling to meet at a certain place. So there is a machlokas in the Rishonim, the exact parameters of the halacha. The Rush over there writes that that there are those who believe that the Isser is limited to cases where you're using the name of Avodah Zarah for a purpose. You know, the Gemara gave the example, a landmark. So you're using, so I need the Avodah Zarah to serve a function, that's a problem. But if stam, it's not for anything, it's just a throwaway, you just mentioned the word as a throwaway, but it's not for any practical purpose, so some Rishonim say that's mutter. But the Rosh himself disagrees, and many, many other Rishonim disagree, and the Torah disagrees, and the Torah says you're not allowed to name the name of an Avodah Zarah, even if there's no need to do so. Beis Yosef is not 100% sure about it, but it seems that that's the way we pass on halacha. To mention the name of an Avodah Zarah is not proper. Sefer HaChinuch says that mentioning the name of an Avodah Zarah outside of a Shavua is only Drabanan, it's not Daraisa. But we observe the dinim drabanan as well. We have to be careful about the dinim drabanan also. The smag thinks it would be daraisa anyway. So it's machlokas rishonim. What's the halacha? So Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Kuf Mem Zayin Aleph. I happen to have Yerideya right here. So Yerideya, Kuf Mem Zayin Aleph. It's not a coincidence. I brought it in with me. Yerideya, Kuf Mem Zayin Aleph, says Shulchan Aruch, Elilim shalovid chavim shebitla ovid chavim muteres. Have you saw the niyach levat elilim? Where am I? No, I'm in Kuf Mem Vav. Wonder. Kuf Mem Zayin Aleph. Hanodar nishpa b'shem elilim harei zeh hayalokev va'aser lahaskira b'shma bein litzorech bein shalol litzorech. One is not allowed to be maskir the shame of Avodah Zarah, whether it's litzorech or whether it's not litzorech. So what's the heter over here? He's going to be typing in the names of all these Avodah Zarahs into this calendar. So isn't that a violation that he's being masked with the shame of the Avodah Zarah? So no, come up with a good answer. What's the svara to be maker? Ah, ksiva kedibur. He's writing it, he's not saying it. So is ksiva kedibur? And even if ksiva kedibur is ksiva, right, would it qualify as kosev? Or some other malacha on Shabbos, but is would it qualify as kosev? So there's a tshuva of Menashe Klein has about ksiva kedibur, about a person wanted a, it was a funny tshuva, half the streets are named after, you know, in most parts of the world, are named after different avodah zarah. So let's say you have a friend that lives on that street. So can you write a letter to him? He used to be the people who write letters, and you'd have to send a package to him.
What about like a city that's named after avodah
zarah? Cities that are named after avodah zarah, yeah, so you have all these issues. So Minchas Chinuch suggests that the Minchas Chinuch, the mitzvah pei vav, writes that the issue is only when the name is verbalized, not when it's written. And in this regard, ksiva lav kedibur, shem Elohim acherim lo sazkiru. Gemara says in Megillah, lo sazkiru. What zecher? What's the context of the Gemara Megillah? Why is the Gemara Megillah talking about what zecher means?
Amalek.
Zechiras Amalek. So what zecher? How do you do zechiras Amalek? You just say, oh, I remember. Is that enough? No, you need to verbalize. You need to verbally mention. Thinking about it's not enough. So says Minchas Chinuch. So Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Sazkiru. The only way you violate it is by verbalizing it. So Menashe Klein says, okay, so you can write the name on the address. The problem is the idea that writing the name of Avodah Zarah is not including the Yisr is a little bit iffy, because the Beis Yitzchak in the Tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Kufnun Beis says that Zechira means different things in different contexts. Most Yisurim would clearly distinguish between Machshava and Dibur. But Avodah Zarah is different. By Avodah Zarah, we're particularly Machmir on Machshava. Meaning, if someone believes in an Avodah Zarah, the belief itself is a terrible thing. So Machshava alone is something that we're very sensitive to when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Not only that, what did we say before? That writing might even be worse than saying over here, because when you say Hashem Avodah Zarah, you said it, now it's gone, you can't find it, it's out, it's not in the world anymore. Whatever shame you said is not there anymore. You said it, and now it's over. When you write it, you're making a lasting record of it. So a lasting record where you're actually giving, putting it in pen to paper, and so that may be a bigger concern of Avodah Zarah, not a lesser concern of Avodah Zarah. So this is some of the issues that come up over here. So Lemaisa, at the end of the day, we should be careful in general, in this culture, in any culture, where the values around us are not Jewish values, the holidays around us are not Jewish holidays. We believe that we take in whatever is valuable and good and positive in the culture, scientific advancements and certain rights and liberties and things of that nature. But other things we do not buy into. And certainly other religions and things that are based in other religions, we Jews should really stay far away from these kinds of things to the extent possible. And we hope that the places that we work will understand if we don't want to dress up for Halloween, and if we're going to be sensitive about being serious about our jobs without at the same time compromising our religious principles. So, have a good Shabbos.